It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by Lincoln Agency. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside La Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Now here's your host, Jonathan Ford.
Happy New Year, Merry Christmas, all in one. Festivus. Happy Festivus for the rest of us. From John, Joe Dirt. Welcome into Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. We've had a holiday break or two from the show, and we're finally back. Got a few things to catch up on, and that's why we're here. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get into the show.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6, brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevyland in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call on the collegedeal.com hotline at 888-993-7762 or email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com.
Since football is the primary thing we talk about the majority of the year, but it is basketball season, we're going to start with football and then work our way into basketball and then to football recruiting later in the show. But Louisiana Tech defensive coordinator Kim Dameron is in the running for the Eastern Illinois head coaching vacancy. He confirmed it to a newspaper this, I think it was either this weekend or late last week, that he is indeed a candidate. That would be a big loss for the Bulldogs. I think Dameron did an outstanding job this past offseason with the Bulldog defense. They improved drastically, honestly, in pass defense. His position group of the safeties really started playing well towards the end of the year, but he was playing with a lot of young, inexperienced players, and that was to be expected that they would have some growing pains early, but they really turned a corner towards the end of the year. What, Jared, do you think that that it would be a loss for the Bulldogs to lose Kim Dameron?
Absolutely. There are people who are of the mind that Dameron didn't do anything to improve this defense, that it was the improvement of the defense was more, I guess you could chalk it up more to
weaker schedule
than, but honestly, I thought the 4-2-5 and the different looks, actually having a blitz package, that type of thing. Dameron's been deemed kind of as a creative mind as far as on the defensive side of the ball goes. And I thought that he did a really good job having an inexperienced, especially secondary, but inexperienced team overall, and it's being his first season.
I tend to agree. And, you know, you think about – I'm not going to say that Dameron would not be a good head coach because he's a really great guy, and I think he would make a good head coach. But I think of the guy like Ellis that was at Southern Miss, and of course went Ofer. Now he's defensive coordinator in the national championship game yesterday, and I tell you what, he did a pretty dang good job.
Absolutely.
I like to see redemption stories like that when Ellis Johnson was kind of run out of town on the stake, and then he comes back and has a good game last night in the biggest stage of them all in college football. But I digress, like I always do.
You know, Eastern Illinois is not a bad job, especially for someone who doesn't have any head coaching experience. Eastern Illinois went 12-2 this season. Eastern Illinois' head football coach was hired away by Bowling Green. So it's not as if, you know, Dameron would be taking some lackluster job in a Division II.
Yes, FCS.
It's FCS, but they're going 12-2 in the FCS, making the playoffs, finishing number four in the final poll. I mean, they're not a.
And they went 12-2, and I'm sure that there's some FBS opponents on that schedule.
Sure, they beat San Diego State. They lost to Northern Illinois, but they only lost to Northern Illinois by 4 points.
So there's some talent at Eastern Illinois, and while Dameron has said that, I mean, he spent some time at ULM, he went to Arkansas, he's from Arkansas, this is home of North Louisiana, it's home, but if his aspirations are to be a head coach one day, he's got to talk to him.
Absolutely. And even if he just goes and interviews, you have to. I feel like you have to. And another thing about Eastern Illinois, and I'll leave Eastern Illinois alone after this, but they didn't just beat FCS opponents, but they obliterated them. Like, the closest game here on their schedule was 55-13. They're beating teams 63-7, 49-7, 55-7. So they weren't even close games.
So he would be in, whoever gets that job is inheriting a good situation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now let's switch gears to basketball. That's really the biggest topic of the current football team is Kim Dameron's interest in the Eastern Illinois job. While we were gone, the Duncan Dogs defeated OU on the road in Norman in overtime. If you got a chance to watch that game, you saw OU hit a miracle three-pointer at the buzzer in regulation to send the game into overtime. After that happened, I thought, no way Tech comes back and wins this game because they've got all the momentum with that shot. Once again, I was wrong.
Alex Hamilton. Do you have to say any more?
Scored 6 points in the first half. He was with five turnovers in the second half at one point, and he finished with 31 points.
Yeah, including 10 of the team's 17 in overtime.
At 6'4 and probably 180, he's not thick, but he's a good size point guard and shooting guard. He's a matchup problem for almost anybody in the country because there's not many guards that are as big as he is and as long as he is with his speed and athleticism.
And I've been saying this and will continue to say it. Alex Hamilton is the only unfortunate – well, Cordarius Johnson has every natural tool to be but is not. Alex Hamilton is the only player on this team with NBA potential.
I agree with that. And I would – Cordarius, to me, he's got potential on the gridiron, I think, at an elite level. He will make a living overseas, and there's lots of players that make plenty of money overseas playing basketball.
Oh, absolutely.
Olu Ashalu is still playing overseas. There's plenty of Tech players back in. Gerard Henderson played overseas and made lots of money. There is nothing wrong with playing basketball overseas. You can make a whole lot more money doing that than you can do a lot of things in America.
Right.
So more power to you if you can go play basketball in Europe or in the Middle East. That's pretty much the two major places. And China also has some professional basketball. But most of the guys are making the major money in Europe.
Yeah, places like Turkey.
Or Spain.
Or Israel.
Turkey's considered Asia.
Okay, well.
Get a little deep geography lesson here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Strike that from the records.
Are they a member of the EU? Oh, look at you. I consider it quote-unquote Central Asia. So here I was wrong. Got to love the EU. This is not a political show, ladies and gentlemen. But, yes, the basketball team did play well in Norman. Alex Hamilton was Conference USA Player of the Week because of his performance in Norman. And then whenever they came back home and beat Longwood of Virginia by 74 points.
Beat them by 22 more points than they scored.
If you were in attendance of that game, a lot of people were saying, I wish they would have saved some of the three-pointers for another game. When you're that hot, shoot them.
Yeah, shoot them.
It's a confidence – basketball is very much a confidence game. And the confidence from OU spilled over into Longwood, and you saw it big time. They couldn't miss against Longwood. We'll get more into that game later in more detail. And then another topic about just doing some recap of what happened while we were gone. Recruiting, Tech got a big commitment from three-star safety Donovan Wilson for him to later decommit. He will visit Utah and LSU this month before signing day. It's not a shocker, and Tech's not out of the woods for him. Just because he decommitted from the Bulldogs doesn't mean it's over for him for Tech. LSU has not offered him a scholarship. Utah has. So Tech's got a decent shot at landing Wilson on signing day, he would be a player that would have an immediate impact on the roster.
And I don't think that Donovan Wilson's – I don't think that his decommitting from the team is so much about him not no longer being interested in playing football at Tech, so much as it is kind of like – you know, it was just kind of a knee-jerk decision. First place he goes,
he just wanted to end it. He was frustrated with the process,
right? And so the very first place he visits, he decides to commit. But we'll see where it goes. I don't think Tech is out of it by any means.
You know, while we're on this topic, this is a good thing to take a few minutes to talk about. I'm of the opinion, Jared. People get all up in arms about these athletes who decommit from colleges and commit to another one and decommit and commit. If a school is willing to drop you as an athlete in the 11th hour, right before signing day, you have every right to decommit as many times as you want.
Oh, absolutely.
The commitment in that business is you're holding a spot on the roster. That's all you're doing. If you want to hold a spot on your favorite team right now, commit to them. That way, if you don't find another favorite, you've got a spot. Because nothing's telling you that they're not going to pick up. If you don't commit, they're going to keep recruiting players for that position.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if they fill it, all of a sudden you're on the outside in the cold.
Well, then you're like was it Kirby Wixon? Had all these offers, chose not to commit to anywhere, was trying to keep his options open. Next thing you know,
senior year in high school, yeah.
Yeah, next thing you know, everywhere's full and he's going JUCO. So I understand completely committing and then always knowing that the possibility is there to decommit and go somewhere else.
The way to fix it is we're going to go a little long, John. Just you know me and my soapboxes, so just allow me a second. The way to fix that issue, whether you think it's a problem or not a problem, I don't think it's a problem. It's just nature of the beast, is to have an early signing period. They have an early signing period for junior college players that can enroll early. Why can't you do that for high school players? Because if they could sign early and the recruiting process is over for them and nobody can drop them, and a school doesn't have to recruit them anymore because they've got them in the bag, for lack of a better term. The early signing period for football has to happen. You see it in basketball. I can't remember if you see it in basketball or baseball or not, but basketball's for sure. I mean, Tech's got five signees already in basketball, and there's going to be a late signing period, and they won't sign a single one because they're done.
Right.
It saves the institution money. Okay, I've sold it enough. Let's take a break. On the other side of the break, we'll talk more Tech basketball and break down a little bit of what's to come in Conference USA basketball play.
Time to play the game! Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire!
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio every week.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio here on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com and host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get into some basketball talk, some numbers talk.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6, brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Cards, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevyland in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call on the collegedeal.com hotline at 888-993-7762. Email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com. Or, as always, you can tweet us with the hashtag BTBRadio.
Jared, numbers talk, not statistics, although I'm sure we'll talk statistics before the end of the show.
We better, because I have a bunch of them. Not that I'll use all of them, because nobody likes to listen to statistics.
Yeah, you'll bore everybody to sleep. If you're wondering about Tech's RPI right now, there's about 3 million websites on the internet that try to figure out where the NCAA is thinking for RPI. We're gonna pick two. KenPom.com and WarrenNolan.com. I think ESPN's got their own. CBS Sports has got their own. Literally, everybody's trying
everywhere.
To predict it. We'll start with Warren Nolan. Tech really has one game left to really help their RPI out for the rest of the year. And that game is coming up soon, next Sunday in Hattiesburg. Tech fans should make that four-hour trip to see the Dogs play Southern Miss. The Golden Eagles currently 25th in RPI on WarrenNolan.com, while the Bulldogs sit at 92nd. They also do an NPI, which is kind of a ranking and not a rating, and has Tech number 32 in their ranking with Southern Miss at number 24. So they're very, very close. Tech's just beating the you know what out of people right now, and that's helping the perception of the program, I think, more than anything right now. If you look at Ken Pom, both Tech and Southern Miss are neck and neck in RPI, with Southern Miss number 52 and Louisiana Tech number 53. On their RPIs, Tech won't get helped out that greatly with a W in Hattiesburg.
And if you look at the schedule, especially Southern Miss's schedule, it's kind of understandable. Who has Southern Miss beat? They've got their 13 wins, 2 losses, with the 2 losses being at Louisville, blown out, and then
at Western Kentucky, a future Conference USA.
At Western Kentucky, they lost by 368-65. Besides that, they haven't beaten anyone. They beat DePaul.
They beat North Dakota State. And you say, North Dakota State? North Dakota State will be in the tournament.
And that was a 70-69 victory.
And they're currently on Warren Nolan number 22 in RPI. So that's a good W. Just like Tech, they have one top 50 RPI win, Tech's being Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, right. And Southern Miss is being
North Dakota State. But you look at the rest of the schedule, they've played a lot of RPI teams in the hundreds. Then you go to Tech, and there's several in the 300s. That's what's hurting Tech is the strength of schedule.
Right.
Central Arkansas has got a 340th ranked RPI. UNC Greensboro is from the Gulf Coast Showcase, the tournament. They're 268. Illinois Chicago 272. Then Longwood was 307. Can you believe that Longwood's quote unquote better than Central Arkansas? Then Thursday they play Florida Atlantic, who's 2-10 on the year, 305 of RPI. Then Saturday play FIU, who's 239 in RPI and 6-6 on the year. So there's not a whole lot of opportunities, like I was saying, to improve.
Right, Southern Miss being 25th. That's your biggest improvement, according to Warren Nolan. And then UAB is at 100, which is
Charlotte. Charlotte's at 130, and UTEP is at 138. And while we're talking about UTEP,
yes,
3 players off the UTEP roster were kicked off for gambling.
Not necessarily on UTEP sports, just gambling on sports events.
Which is illegal for NCAA players to gamble on NCAA-sanctioned events.
Right. Those 3 players were junior Mackenzie Moore, junior Jalen Ragland, and junior Justin Crossgile. And Mackenzie Moore actually was leading the team in scoring, averaging 13.4 points per game, 4.5 rebounds, and a team high meager 2.7 assists.
The weird thing is they're 2-0 since they were kicked off the team.
Right, right.
And they did beat a good Denver squad in that second game. However, struggled mightily with Western Illinois, not Eastern Illinois, but Western Illinois. So take that for what it's worth. Tech does have to travel to El Paso to play the Miners. Another game coming up. Marshall is the Mission Possible sellout game for Tech. So get your tickets to that. I think they have $5 general admission tickets. I think they're down to in the 2000s, if I were to guess, of tickets. Last I looked, it was 3,000, so surely they're in the 2000s. But that will be a fun one. Charlotte may be the toughest home contest left with Middle Tennessee being there as well, 132 RPI. But you know our friends over at MasseyRatings.com, we like to use their predictions. They have Tech as really only not favored in one more game the rest of the year, and that's against Southern Miss Sunday, January 19th, with a 35% chance for a loss. Or for a win, 35% chance for a win.
So that means that Southern Miss is favored by 65%. Or Southern Miss, 65% chance Southern Miss is going
to
win.
Their score prediction is 71-67, so it's a close game.
It's a close game, okay.
It's not like it's a blowout.
I don't foresee Tech losing that game.
I think it'll be a battle.
Yeah.
Like every game that Tech and Southern Miss ever play in any sport is always a knockdown, drag-out fight. Which is what makes that budding, let's call it a budding rivalry. It's not a rivalry yet. Budding rivalry so exciting. And with the close proximity, finally Tech has a conference mate that they can say has a potential of being a rival.
Right.
I can't, but having a crowd there would be enormous for Tech to have some faithful fans there. I mean, there was not a huge number of people made the trip to Norman, but there was some Tech fans there. So make sure you go out to Hattiesburg for that game. Let's take a break. Other side of the break, we're going to go a little switch gears into some football recruiting, and then close out the show with more basketball, previewing FAU and FIU. This is Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio is back.
Welcome back to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com, host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. Jared King joining me, staff writer and co-host of Bleed Tech Blue Radio. A couple of sponsors, then we'll get into recruiting.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6, brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. Give us a call on the collegehill.com hotline and talk some football recruiting with us at 888-993-7762, or email your questions to radio@bleedtechblue.com.
We will have an abbreviated show tonight. We'll be done at 7, so keep that in mind. The Bulldogs have 16 from our count commitments, including a gray shirt deep snapper from last season in Tucker Etheridge. So, Jared, go through those real fast. Just names, positions, and if you want to, cities and rating.
Shane Carpenter, offensive lineman, 6'7". Jared Kraft, running back out of Houghton. Jalon Ferguson, defensive end from St. Francisville. Marcus Gaines, 5'7" athlete, but he is a lightning bug.
Yeah, he likely will be a slot receiver return specialist for the Bulldogs.
Roderick Jefferson, wide receiver out of Parkway. Brandon Harris's old running buddy. Deontay McCready, offensive lineman from Arlington, Texas. Quante Moore, linebacker out of Edna Carr. Michael Rodriguez, listed as a tight end. He's an offensive line project, 6'6", 225.
Likely a tackle.
From LaPorte. Marlon Watts, wide receiver out of St. Aug. 6'3", wide receiver out of St. Aug. Howard Wilson, DB from DeSoto. Price Wilson, quarterback from Marietta, Georgia. Walton High School, a fan of his. And then Alex Woodall, quarterback from Macomb.
And then the signees. At the very top.
Tucker Etheridge, like we already mentioned.
He's already enrolled.
Sanford Say, wide receiver from Itawamba Community College.
Already enrolled.
Blake Sharp, offensive lineman from East Mississippi Community College.
Will enroll in the spring.
Right, which sort of had a little mishap. Kirby Wixon, offensive lineman from Hines Community College.
Already enrolled.
6'4", 320, Kirby Wixon.
Right now, I think Tech's class is sitting very pretty. They're addressing needs. when I saw – I went over and saw Shane Carpenter play in an all-star game in Shreveport that was cut short by that monster storm that came through. But I interviewed him afterwards. He's huge.
6'7", 275 is what he's listed at.
He's 290, and he's every bit of 6'6", or 6'7". That's impressive that he fell – that he was so under-recruited. Let's say that. Tech spotlighted him, knew they wanted him, offered him, and finished the deal.
You can read this commitment list at on Rivals or on BleedTechBlue.com. But when you do, if you're a stars person, if you're looking at the two stars and the three stars and all this stuff next to their names, and you look at Tech's recruiting class, you're going to see a lot of two stars. Just because they have two stars, Rivals is just not giving out as many three stars this year as they have in the past. Look, it takes a 5.5 to be a three star. Most of the two stars
in the Rivals rating.
In the Rivals rating. And most of the two stars that Tech has are 5.4s. So don't look at it as, okay, he's a two star, not a three star. Take it with a grain of salt.
You're exactly right. And I say this to people really every year this time. The more impressive thing is to look at the offer list. Who did they garner interest from? Who did Tech, quote unquote, beat out for those players? Sanford Say, a former Georgia Bulldog at Itawamba, he took lots of official visits. Southern Miss, Illinois, Louisiana Tech. He took Louisiana Tech one during the football season. So that's the kind of thing. He is a three-star, so that might be a bad example.
Sanford's a three-star. Jalen Ferguson is a three-star. Jalen Ferguson, D-end out of West Feliciana, 6'5", 230. And
he's got a little brother, 2015 class, that is an absolute man-child of receiver.
But look at the size of these guys. These guys are not – they're not – there's a lot of length.
Minus Broderick Jefferson and –
right, 5'9", Broderick Jefferson and 5'7", Marcus Gaines. The rest of them, though, especially at the running back, I mean, the wide receiver positions, you got Marlon Watts, who's 6'3", and Samford is 6'2". So, you know, good size at the line at wide receiver position, and then the offensive linemen, of course, all of them they're big.
6'5", and above.
Yeah, 6'4", 6'5", 6'7", 6'6", lots of.
So let's get into the needs to finish out the class. I think if Tech could find an elite offensive tackle, they'd take him, but it's going to take somebody that's a really special player to finish for them to take him. They're not just going to take a tackle to take a tackle. Joseph Paul out of St. Aug was on the radar. He's taken officials to Oklahoma State, and then his final visit will be to Texas or Cal. So he won't be. It will likely not be Mr. Paul out of St. Aug. So it's going to take that kind of player that slips through the cracks, that's under-recruited, that Tech finds a diamond in a rough, and that's kind of tackle that they'll take late if they can find him. We talked about Donovan Wilson earlier. Tech's obviously looking for a safety because that's what Donovan Wilson plays. They're going to get a visit from Cedric Cooper from Shaw High School in New Orleans, as well as Anthony Milton out of New Orleans as well. What's interesting is Tech's battling Utah for all three of these guys. Utah clearly needs safeties, and they feel like the best place they can find safeties is in the Louisiana high schools.
Now, according to Rivals, Cedric Cooper and Donovan Wilson will both be taking their visits to Utah on the same day. So it's almost like you could almost look at it as if Donovan Wilson decides to go to Utah, then Tech will just take Cedric Wilson, or Cedric Cooper.
And that's why I said it in a war room this week that Tech will probably get one of the two.
And Anthony Milton is coming the following week to visit Utah.
And I think if Tech swings and misses on both of those guys, that's where Anthony Milton comes in.
Right.
In the recruiting, like we were talking about with the commitments holding your place on a roster, that's what they're doing right here. You've got to have enough ducks in a row so that if one falls into place, you can tell the other one, sorry, but your spot's been filled. That's always my best advice to parents of prospects, is to have their child commit to their favorite as early as possible. Inside receivers, another place where Tech's going to be adding a a receiver. I think that that player will likely be Cameron McKnight out of East Feliciana High School. He's a man amongst boys at 6'3", 220, played running back for East Feliciana. Tech will have him at 6'3", 220, will play the inside receiver position, a big body to be in the middle of the field. The other one that's a question mark, wants to visit Louisiana Tech, according to his coach, is Caleb Chumley out of Pine Tree. Is that right? Pine Tree High School in Longview?
Pine Tree High School in Longview.
6'6", 220. Talk about his offers, Jared.
Well, he's got a lot of offers. He's got an offer from Houston, Jackson State, Kansas, Lamar, of course, Tech. He also has an offer from Memphis, Missouri, New Mexico State, North Texas, Oregon State, and Texas State, which, of course, I feel like the Missouri offer certainly kind of stands out.
If Missouri or Kansas want him, those are the major ones that Tech's got to fight off if they've got room for him, if they're going to make room for him. Major institutions like Missouri and those kinds, they fill up this time of year. They're sitting at 23, 24, 25 commitments. And Missouri being the SEC only allows their member institutions to sign 25 athletes a year. That prevents the oversigning that they used to be extremely guilty of. And the oversigning just leaves kids without a place to go.
I apologize, I left out a New Mexico State offer, although I'm not sure how much they'll...
If he's not looking to go to an AQ conference, I imagine he stays close to home. So you got to look at those Texas schools and Louisiana Tech, because Longview to Ruston is not a bad haul. So inside receiver is definitely something to look at. Russell Gage out of Redemptorist in Baton Rouge, another safety DB type. I think Tech's looking at him at possibly as a corner. He looks to be a two-lane lean right now. That's going to be probably the school Tech's got to beat out for Russell Gage. LSU flirted with him all year, never pulled the trigger on an offer, very similar to Donovan Wilson. So he's an extremely gifted athlete and will help whoever he signs with out big time. A D tackle will be a spot to watch down the stretch, whether it's Cedric Johnson or JT Williams, both out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Cedric Johnson, 6'2", 280, has offers from Baylor, Oklahoma State, and SMU, as well as Louisiana Tech. So,
But Oklahoma State's full, Baylor's full. SMU and Tech seems to be the ones that are battling to get his signature. JT Williams out of Denton Ryan. I'm wondering if he's not a backup to Cedric Johnson. I don't think Tech needs two D tackles in the class, but finding good D tackles is hard to find.
Like you said, Mizzou is, if not full, very nearly. North Texas and Houston have also offered
Mr.
JT Williams.
You look at the corners, other than Russell Gage, Garrett Davis has visited Louisiana Tech, and then Michael Coley, who has picked up an offer from Texas Tech recently. Both Texas prospects, Garrett Davis has already visited. Michael Coley will visit later in the month. Coley is listed at 6'3". I think that's a little inflated. I think he's between 6'1 and 6'2". Whichever case, that's a big corner.
Absolutely. He's actually listed as a wide receiver.
Correct.
But will play corner at the next level.
More than likely, coaches, I think everybody's recruiting him as a corner late in the process. They like his hips, his hip flexibility, and his ability to change direction running backwards, that's what they're looking for.
He has a visit lined up with Texas Tech on the 17th. He also has a UTSA offer.
I think it's down to Texas Tech and Louisiana Tech if I were to guess. And Garrett Davis, I think he's visiting Houston, North Texas, and of course has already visited Tech. So it looks like it's going to be a little bit of a battle for him as well down the stretch. I don't know if Tech will look for a defensive end. There's a couple out there that are some big fish. Daniel Wise had some early interest from some Big 12 programs. Grant Harris, Miami offer, visiting Mississippi State. will they fall through the cracks and Tech able to pick them up? I don't know. And will they do they have room for a defensive end? I'm not positive. And finally, a position of big-time need that Tech needs is a high school linebacker, outside linebacker, Josh Ihambe.
Josh Ihambe would be my favorite for that position. Talked to him what feels like many moons ago. And
in the recruiting process, it was.
And then, yeah. And then I couldn't get a hold of him again. And I thought, well, okay, then he must not be. Apparently, his interest is no more. But turns out Josh just got a new phone number.
He got a new phone number. I have a good contact to Josh. And he says that Coach Egan, Tech's recruiter, defensive line coach and recruiter for most of the Dallas-Fort Worth area, has a great relationship with Ihambe. And he really likes what Coach Egan is telling him, and he needs to see campus. And what's he scheduled to visit? What day?
The 25th. He's scheduled to visit campus on the 25th. He's also visiting Kansas on the 17th.
So he's picked up some offers.
And Washington State, February the 1st.
He's picked up some offers. So Tech's got some big boys to fight off there. But I like Tech's chances with Ihambe. And as I said, that's a big one Tech's got to fill.
I can't say this with any kind of certainty, but I would imagine Washington State is probably not a serious contender. He wanted to stay close to his cousin, Emmanuel Mudiay. I'm not sure how you say it.
Five-star basketball player
that also goes to Prime Prep with Ihambe and committed to SMU.
But SMU has about 10 linebackers committed.
Right. I don't think he's going to SMU, but he wants to stay close to home.
Tech's not far. Kansas is, and Washington State's really far.
Right.
But it'll be interesting because there's a lot of Louisiana Tech flavor on the Washington State staff with former punter Chris Cagle up there as a GA for special teams. Nolan Darby's up there, one of the strength coaches. Be interesting if he makes his trip to Washington to see what those guys have to say about their alma mater. I'm sure that both of those guys, I know them well. They won't have anything bad to say about their time in Ruston, and both love it here. Let's take a break. Other side of the break, we will wrap up the show. Check us out on BleedTechBlue.com for all that recruiting news. We go much more in depth.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Welcome back to the final segment of Bleed Tech Blue Radio on ESPN Radio 97.7. I'm Jay Ford, publisher of BleedTechBlue.com. Garrett, a couple of sponsors, then we'll get into basketball talk.
Bleed Tech Blue Radio Season 6 is brought to you by Lincoln Agency, National Jewelry, Fairway Carts, Dowling Smokehouse, Chevy Land in Shreveport, and Maxwell's Market in Shreveport. I get it. You don't want to give us a call on the collegedeal.com hotline tonight, but if there's a chance that you do during this last segment, you can reach us at 888-993-7762.
Tech will start conference play this week, opening up Thursday night against FAU.
4-10 FAU.
4-10 FAU and 6-6. Actually, I've got 2-10 on them. They must have some non D1 wins there.
Yeah.
2-10 in D1 play.
Sheesh.
6-6 FIU Saturday.
Which is 8-7 if you include the non D1.
6-6.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they're probably not counting Texas D1 as non-D1 wins either. 11-3 here. So
yeah.
They don't count them towards their RPI, so there's no point in talking about them.
Sure. FAU scores 68 points per game. They shoot 42% from the field, which is not bad, but they also grab 40 rebounds a game. Tech gets 41 rebounds a game, so it's close there. But Tech has struggled mostly this year with big men.
With a big man that's over 250 and can push this Kaiser around.
Right, which Raffington is 6'9". He's a 6'9 center from Germany, and he weighs 240 pounds. Averages 8.7 points per game, 8.2 rebounds per game, but I guess he can't get off his feet. Less than one block a game. And shoots 44% from free throw. So if all else fails, hack him.
Let's go to the phone lines with our friend J-Mac. How's it going, my man?
Man, it's going great. Just wanted to call and thank you guys for all that you do for Louisiana Tech. Appreciate you having me on the show in the past. For your listeners that don't know, I have completed my second day of Director of Marketing Promotions at Northwestern State. It was extremely tough to leave the alma mater, but a huge step for my career. Happy to be able to catch you guys on the radio. Good stuff, as always.
Well, I'm sure you're on your on the road between Natchitoches and Downsville.
I am. I just rolled through Quitman, so beautiful, I'm headed home.
Beautiful downtown Quitman. Well, be careful out there, Josh. Good to hear from you.
Thanks, bud.
Josh McDaniel, folks, loss for the Louisiana Tech athletic department, but happy for him as a friend and a fellow Tech alum to move on in his career.
FAU has some, getting back to FAU talk, FAU has some international flavor also with a guard, 6'4" guard, and Pablo Bertone leads the team in scoring with 19.3 points per game. I would imagine that Speedy Smith will probably get that draw. Also leads the team with 2.4 assists per game, and he gets four rebounds, so he can, he's a guard that can rebound the ball also. But besides 6'9" Raffington, the only player on FAU's squad with any size that gets playing time is 6'6". So not a lot of size on the FAU squad. And then kicking over to the FIU game, FIU 6-6. Now, they score a few more points. They score 71 points per game, right at 40 rebounds, really close to Tech again. They're not very good from three-point. They're shooting 22% from three, and they turn the ball over 15 times per game. But I want to talk about Rakeem Buckles.
You talk about Rakeem.
Rakeem Buckles, 6'7". He's a forward, originally from Miami. He went to Louisville.
Played. He's got a man crush on the Petrinos.
Yes, he does. Look, he went to Louisville, played at Louisville for three seasons, and then he followed Rick's son, to FIU. Found out that FIU couldn't play in any postseason tournaments.
Because of their APR.
Because of their APR. So Rich leaves and goes to Minnesota, and Buckles tries to follow, but the NCAA wouldn't allow it. So Rakeem is playing for FIU his senior season. He's got 14, he averages 14 points a game and 10.5 rebounds per game. He also has 1.7 blocks per game, and he is, out of all five players that get 25 or more minutes for FIU, five of which of those get 32 minutes. So they're using the same five a lot. Rakeem is the only one 6'7 or above. He is 6'7". He's the tallest guy in the, I guess, the starting five, and then, you know, with the sixth man. So not a lot of size on this FIU squad either. Tymel Murphy, 6'5" forward from Brooklyn, New York. 16 points per game, 7.4 rebounds, leads the team with two assists, gets a block and a half, and he has seven double-doubles on the season. Those are the only two to watch out for with that FIU squad.
You know, looking forward to the Conference USA schedule, basketball is really where Conference USA is good. They